That's how you're talking, Meme Dog.
I put the singing single.
And Gabe?
My name is Gabriel Thomas Mikulski, and right. I am Mom and Dad's favorite child.
And here we go.
Let's do this.
Ready for tonight?
Meet me.
Hello once again, Table Talk with Rookie's Family. This is the family that podcasts. And we're happy that you are enjoying some time with us. You can catch us on all our social media stuff that we'll tell you at the end of the podcast. Kind of string you along so you stick with us. But what we have today is an action-packed, information- and entertaining-packed podcast. And we're very happy that you listen at your own convenience. Please tell a couple others. And if you'd like to sponsor the show, we would love... We really need to start working on the sponsors. We've just been doing this for fun. But we need to turn it into money. Gabe, you're the money guy.
Nobody's
you're going to have to start... Gabe's
you.
In sales. Games and sales. He's in charge of all sales, and he runs a hard bargain.
Yep.
Right, Gabe?
Well, I'm the only one that wants sponsors, apparently, because nobody tries.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm just reading magazines and eating chocolates.
So if you want Gabe to sponsor your company, let him know.
What, McLaren?
You said you're the only one that wants
represent. Maybe
represent sponsor your company.
Endorse.
The only one to
advertise.
Get sponsors. I don't care about advertising. McLaren
well, that's
doesn't
what
get
that
it.
Is.
Yeah,
cute. He doesn't
no,
know
I
what
just
it
want
is.
Money.
Yeah, we're not doing this just for the entertainment of people listening. We're doing this as a business venture.
Okay, peeps.
I guess
speaking of
confused.
Entertainment, we were entertained yesterday in the city of St. Paul by the Red Bull Flutag.
Yes,
that was a really fun event.
It was fun. We left the house early because, you know, they basically terrorized the city with how many people were going to be in St. Paul. And
right.
Yep.
So being the ever-prepared family we are, we left rather early. Mm-hmm. And we drove down to Harriet Island, in which case the father of this family was very angry.
Ooh.
Because he couldn't find free parking anywhere.
Yeah, I'm
he had
not
to pay $20.
I'm not paying $20 to park in the.
However, the event is free, so really, in the grand scheme of things, $20 I think is a pretty good deal for parking.
Yes.
But you know he wouldn't pay. So
no, I wanted
anyway,
to save it for concessions.
We said let's go over to the other side of the river, which is how I had always envisioned viewing it anyway. So we went over to the other side of the river. Found free parking.
Good girl.
Yes. And we got there probably about 9:30.
Yeah.
For an event that started at 12.
After talking to...
the gates opened at 10.
After talking to every St. Paul police officer we knew that was on hand at the yesterday.
Yeah. We had some fun catching up with a police officer friend. And the gates opened and we went in and we got a prime seat. A bench right in front of the launching pad. And it was fun to sit and watch the boats at first.
Yes, there was a lot of downtime. We did arrive early enough, but there was, you know, when you're sitting on the river and you are watching the, oh, I like that boat. Oh, I don't like that. That boat looks cute. It did get a little lengthy because we were there until about, 3:15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think attendance was what they expected, but I still think it was a very successful event. Watching those boats just kerplunk into the water and
not boats.
The aircrafts plunge into the water was rather fun, and I wish we had that every year.
Yeah, I do too.
The only thing that they need to figure out is the sound, whether that's putting more speakers out in front because it's hard to hear what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially there's a weird echo from, because you're on essentially both sides of the river right across from each other, you can view. So there's some weird sounds going on with echoes and stuff. So if they just put like even two speakers down by where people are watching, like on the river walkway, I think it would be a lot better.
It would be helpful.
It is difficult because voices really carry on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where you get some of the logistics.
Well, the other echoes. Piece to this was a hovering helicopter for about a half an hour taking photos. And that was basically drowning out anything that, you know, like we missed someone we wanted to see.
Yeah.
We thought it was them, but we had no actual confirmation because we couldn't hear a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard to hear. But they did have, the Red Bull always puts on a pretty good show with their events. I don't know if you've been to Crashed Ice before, but that was always a fun event when it was here. Now they've moved it elsewhere. But
we take Red Bull as a sponsor, too, by the way.
Yeah, we would like wings.
Hey, we drank Red Bull yesterday. I had one, probably the second in my life.
Yeah, I had
the first.
I drank a full can, and I don't think I've ever done that before. I'm not an energy drink guy.
No, me either.
Maybe unless you mix it with a little vodka as a cocktail later on at night. But it tasted good. It's sweet. And they got different flavors.
Very sweet.
I had two and I couldn't fall asleep.
Oh, my gosh.
I had no problem going to bed.
What I was going to say before people really diverted and completely cut me off, I was going to say they opened the show with two people jumping out of the plane.
It was actually a Red Bull helicopter.
Would you call it would that be classified as skydiving?
I think
what else would you call it?
No.
Sky
falling? Well, because I think of skydiving like you're falling straight down. These guys are like doing flips in the air. They've got
That's what skydiving is.
That's what you do.
They've got
if you're good at it.
Yeah,
go straight down.
Well, yeah, but it's still skydiving.
Then they had like smoke that was coming out of their shoes or whatever they were standing on, and they were doing all these flips, and then they would land on the runway. I know we have some videos of it, so maybe we can post that, but that might have been like my favorite part of yesterday.
It was so sick.
And they did it twice. It was very cool.
Super neat thing to see.
Oh. Who won?
Oh, that's right. We should give results there.
I have them up here.
They finally posted the results.
No, but that's not the winners.
Yeah,
it is. Well, this is okay. Let me backtrack. And this is not the actual winners of the flights. There's different categories. This was people could go online and look at each of the crafts and vote on creativity and the team.
I don't know if they've posted
and cherry.
Yeah,
one.
But I don't. They're really bad about getting their lists out because I've been looking and I still haven't been able to find like the complete overview, like how far they went. There's no information out like that yet.
I think the problem is there are so few that get any distance that the majority of them are, face it, falling off the end of the runway or launch pad.
And the spoon. That one, it was the cherry spoon in Minneapolis. They recreated that. They won second place when it was here in 2010. So then they bumped up and took first place this year. So that's kind of exciting for them. They must have figured out what
they had
what
9
works.
Years to
yeah.
do it.
Right. So if you ever get a chance, no matter what city you're in, because they do. Go to different cities. It's international.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
I highly suggest you grab a Red Bull and just sit back and watch the fun.
Yeah, it was a really fun event. And then West 7th had a street party. And we did go up there. We ate at Casetta's.
Mm. Yum.
And then watched. They had some, is that BMX biking?
I have no idea. I didn't really like watching that.
Trick bikes. I have no idea.
It was Ride, and it had a Minnesota emblem. So I don't know if it's Minnesota Ride, but that was their
scary.
That was their emblem was RIDE, and then this state of Minnesota.
It was fun to watch that.
I don't know if I really liked that.
Really,
it kind of scared me. Like when that one guy fell. If the whole thing was rubber, then it's fine. But like he started like skidding, and then his hand hit the cement, and I just was like, I don't want to see any of this.
They kind of all did the same thing over and over.
Well, that is kind of true.
Like they only know like two tricks, and then they just kind of circle them out, so they're doing the same thing the entire time.
They're limited by what their
space
setup
to, yeah.
Right. I don't think, you know, they're landing and all that. Yeah. I think they do different things, but
They know what they're doing.
Circumstances. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. We didn't stay there long, but it was fun. I'm sure people had a great time there
really
last night.
And I think if the weather was so weird yesterday, I think if it was not rainy and wasn't as cold, we might have stayed a little bit longer and got a drink. But it was so cold and windy that we headed home because not everyone was properly dressed. Myself and kind of included.
I was very properly dressed.
No, you weren't.
Yes,
you
were. I had sweatpants, a long
Gabe,
sleeve shirt.
You were complaining about the cold.
Because I was still cold, but I was properly dressed.
The other thing is, we should probably address that Matthew isn't here with us at this moment. Oh, yeah. He might join us later in the podcast. He returned back to Boston on Tuesday morning and moved into his new apartment officially on Wednesday. So,
exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to go there and see it.
I know, I'm really excited.
Yeah, it is exciting.
And he has a pretty good excuse. He said he was attending Mass.
Yes.
So we said, okay, you can be excused, and we blessed him and said, once Mass is over, go ahead and give us a buzz.
He's probably praying for a Vikings win today.
Literally.
If I know that kid.
That's right. Skull. Skull. Team of one here, or what's going on?
Skull.
Skull, yep. Thank you. Okay, that's good.
I will never do that.
It's kind of fun.
I've been a Vikings fan forever. I'm not a crazy fan. We used to have season tickets and we enjoyed going to the games. But I will say every year for that first game, I just become a super fan again. And then every year they've broken my heart. Every year I've been a fan of them, they've broken my heart, not winning the Super Bowl. But it is exciting. It's going to be very festive downtown Minneapolis on the Sunday morning with the Twins playing in the afternoon. The first place, 6.5 game lead over Cleveland. Hopefully 7.5 game after lead after today. And then the Vikings at U.S. Bank Stadium. So it's going to be pretty busy in downtown Minneapolis too.
Yeah, fun. Yeah. Fun atmosphere, I'm sure.
Mm. Real fun.
You're going to avoid that one, McLaren?
Yeah, not a huge Vikings girl.
Just hop on light rail, you're good to go.
Absolutely not. Never.
I like it.
Well, if people are pre-gaming or tailgating the Vikings game, they might have a problem today trying to find some White Claws.
Why?
What?
So, White Claws, this summer, I mean, Spiked Seltzer came out around 2016, but it wasn't really this huge hot commodity that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And this past summer, people have been obsessed, crazed by it, myself included. Every time I go up to someone's cabin... I was waiting for that.
After her teaching job, she goes up to her friend's cabin.
The White Claws are like the hot thing up there. Well, there's a White Claw shortage right now because they're such a hot commodity. They cannot keep up with the production of White Claws and getting them out to liquor stores.
Really?
So a liquor store owner in Pennsylvania said that his store's distributor has now put a limit on 39 cases per order.
What? Oh, wow.
For White Claw?
They usually sell 65 cases a week of White Claw.
Can he order more than once a week?
Wow. I don't know. Yeah, so they're like starting to put bans on how much White Claw liquor stores can buy because they cannot keep up with the demand of White Claw.
That's amazing.
They said they're working around the clock to try to end the shortages, and their solution... make a vodka soda. So now they're saying to prolong your White Claw drinking, just put it in some vodka and then you'll drink it slower.
They're already strong enough.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that piece.
Sophia, I know you haven't tried them, but it's White Claw is like a sparkling seltzer with a very low alcohol content. So when you're 21, maybe you can try one.
Yeah, they sound pretty refreshing.
Sure, well, someday you'll be able to try one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just thought that was interesting. There are other like brands. There's Truly is another popular one, but people
I've had that. I like that.
I think Truly has a little bit more flavor than the White Claw, but I buy the White Claw because that's what everybody wants.
So who's at fault here? The fact that they can't make enough?
They are.
The manufacturer?
Because if you're White Claw, then what's next? Truly? So you get somebody that wants a White Claw, they're out, and then they go, I'll try Truly, and then they might enjoy that product better. That's pretty dangerous.
Well, that's risky.
That, but I also think White Claw they came out this summer with more flavors, so there is more flavor options with the White Claw versus the Truly.
Got it.
But essentially, I think they're very similar, the same thing. Their flavors are almost the same. But I just think it's funny that all of a sudden there's a White Claw shortage.
Well, there's only so much you can do with a spiked seltzer.
What do you
mean? You can't like reinvent the spiked seltzer.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like there's only one way to do it.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about that drink too is it started out as kind of being the girl drink.
Mm-hmm.
And women were going to drink this, and it wasn't really marketed towards men. If you look at the cans and stuff, it's very much directed towards a woman's market.
It's feminine, mm-hmm. yeah.
But that really switched, and I think that switch happened this summer.
Yeah.
Where men started drinking it, and the college boys started drinking it. And I know we went to a college grad party where the father had bought beer, and you know, a 12 of White Claw.
Right.
And his daughter went, "What? No. People are going to drink White Claw." And he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But he listened to her and went and got more White Claw. And then you looked around that party, men, women, everybody was drinking the White Claw.
Well, even at Sophia's grad party, White Claw's, it was last summer. So they were just kind of rolling out, not big. But even at her grad party, those were the first things to go. And that wasn't when they were super, super popular yet.
Right.
Yeah, people really like them, especially if you're not a beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of your next best thing if you don't want to go to super hard alcohol.
Right. You want it out of a can. It's quick. It's easy.
Yes.
It's less calories.
Mm-hmm.
Refreshing.
Dad, have you ever had a White Claw?
I have. I've had the White Claw in the slushy from O'Gara's.
Oh, don't even mention that.
That was really refreshing. Oh. And it, you know, on a hot day, that's perfect. But yeah, I like them. It's not my style, but if it's 85 degrees and humid, you put a couple of cubes on that baby, and that's very refreshing. Probably even more refreshing than beer, because beer always tends to fill me up. I might have one or two, and then forget it. I'm done.
Yeah.
Huh.
Gabe, how about you?
You have not had a White Claw. Thank you.
No.
I don't drink.
He
good
doesn't
answer.
Have an opinion. Right.
Good answer.
I don't drink.
That's the right answer.
Well, thank God.
Your article friend.
Oh, I'm next.
Welcome to the podcast, Gabe.
All right.
You look at the big screen
the big
behind
screen up
you.
There you go.
What's behind me, so I'm not really looking at it. But my article is an article about art. I'm not a big fan of art, but I thought this was a pretty good one. A artist made a big black hole in the ground, making it seem like it was just like a painting on the ground. And the showing of it, they had signs around the room saying, "Don't step on this. It is a real hole in the ground." But it seems like it's not, because it's an optical illusion. And a 60-year-old man stepped in the hole thinking that it was a painting and got hospitalized.
What? Where was this?
This was here. I'm going to butcher the name because it's not in America.
Oh.
But it was in the Museum of Contemporary Art in Porto, Portugal.
Okay, in Portugal.
It was famed artist Anish Kumar, Descent into Limbo.
Okay.
Descent into Limbo. Maybe they should have considered putting some ropes around it.
But that's not, they didn't want to make it seem like it was a hole.
How did he get hospitalized if he stepped on a painting?
It's not a hole. It's an 8 foot hole in the ground.
So it's a legit hole?
It's a legit hole. But he made it seem like it was just like a painting or something that's just laying on the ground.
So you think what they like dug 8 feet and then painted the whole thing black so it really looked like...
Sure. It looks like they painted it jet black without any creases or anything like that to show that it wasn't...
If you were going to step on it, though, wouldn't you kind of put a foot out there and test that?
Yes.
Why would you... like step full on into it.
Could you imagine what did that guy think when he was falling down?
What a dumb.
That'd be good security camera footage.
Time out though. It was at a museum, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
At a museum, you are told, don't touch. Why would you step on a painting anyway? You know, if that was an art piece, why would you put your foot on it? You wouldn't go up and touch the Mona Lisa. I mean, you can't, but...
Well, there are... I mean, this isn't in a museum, but, like, it's a thing to do these kind of drawings in the street where people do them, like, off cliffs, and it literally looks like if you step off the little cliff or building, you're going to fall in to the water below. So it is a thing that these artists do, and it's really kind of cool if you just Google that. But I just can't believe that they literally... Where were the warnings? Because wouldn't you think the warnings, there'd be a sign saying, do not step? Because in the photo we're looking at, there's nothing there, though.
It said that there were signs around the room trying to prevent people from stepping on the hole.
Well, I'm surprised that only one person fell into it.
That's very true.
And was it shut down after the one instance?
It doesn't say.
It would have probably had to have been. See, I envision this like there was a basement space below. Mm-hmm. So they cut into the floor and then made this little black hole thing.
Yeah.
Mm. How are you getting hospitalized, though?
He fell in a hole.
Break an ankle or leg or hit your head.
An element called Vanta Black, and it is the darkest element, so it absorbs almost all light.
Did it say how they got the guy out?
I was just thinking.
Did they throw a ladder?
Yeah. I didn't really read the entire thing.
So joining us from the East Coast in Boston is Matthew. Matthew, good morning.
Welcome.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome to you.
Did you pray for us?
Yep. Pray for a Vikes win.
I knew it! Woo! I called that one!
Yes, she did.
I said, if I know him, he's praying for the Vikes to win today.
Yep. We're just counting down the hours till first game.
Prior to getting to the Vikings, where is New England? Is New England at home?
I don't even know.
Okay, I'll look. I just wanted to see if there was a vibe. But you're going to be in foreign territory with the Patriots, and those Bostonians are going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I don't give them any thought.
I'd like to hear that.
You could become a Patriots fan now that you live there.
The Steelers are at New England tonight at the Sunday night game. So it's 7:20.
Yeah, I knew it was the Steelers. I didn't know if they were here or there. But yeah, we're just waiting until 1 p.m. I have to watch the game later out here. 1 p.m. now.
What's your bar of choice out in Boston?
We're actually watching at home. We're going to Haley's apartment, and we're making a bunch of food, and some other people are coming over because Boston's pretty much just full of Minnesotans.
Oh, that's fun.
Fun.
We're all going to watch.
How's your new apartment?
Good. That's right. You haven't really talked to me since then. I moved into a new apartment in the north end of Boston, so it's awesome. It's right around the corner from the old North Church where Paul Revere did his lanterns.
So cool. It's been
very good. I just learned, I don't know if I told you guys this, the street that I'm living on, I live on Sheaf Street, and it used to be in the 1950s, it was the most densely populated street in the entire country. In all of the U.S., this street in the 50s was the most densely populated street.
How weird.
Oh, what the heck? Yeah. How did you find that out?
Did research. Just doing research on the street.
Oh, God.
Okay, nerd.
Was there an influx of Italians coming into the country at that point?
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, it was entirely Italian.
Right.
A lot of it was... So my building, I'm on a third floor, and then... I'm the only apartment on the whole floor of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But in the hallway, in the main hallway, there's, you can see there's four doors that used to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now it's just one unit. And it used to be, obviously, it used to be four units.
Jeez.
So if you multiply the apartments by four, it'd be just a ridiculous amount of people would be on the street.
I'm sorry. You're saying your apartment used to be four?
Yes. Used to be four apartments.
What were they, 50 square feet each?
And yeah, don't be thinking that my apartment is big. That's just how small these were.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's, horrifying.
And the other piece is, being Italian, Catholic families, I'm sure, they all had a lot of kids, making it even more of a densely populated area.
Exactly. My gosh.
Wow. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, but I've learned some history through that.
How is Hurricane Dorian in your microphone right now?
Fake. There wasn't one.
We are kind of hearing some winds.
Yeah, that sounds very windy.
Wind. I'm outside.
Well, there was one in the Bahamas, but once it hit Boston, it had kind of faded off a little bit.
That we were going to get a hurricane, tropical storm. It didn't even rain.
Wow. Also, I don't know if you looked at the article I sent you, but shout out to Craig Leopold and his family fleet that went down to the Bahamas with his crew, and they brought a bunch of supplies down to the Bahamas.
Oh, nice.
On a yacht that McLaren forgot to mention in her entire story.
His fleet, I said.
Boy, it'd be nice to have the means to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That's
awesome. That'd be awesome. Good for him.
They said they were bringing the yacht down to Florida for its winter servicing, and they decided to take a little redirection.
That's so nice.
That's awesome.
Well, does he keep that yacht here in Minnesota?
I did not.
Probably not during the winter.
Where?
No, I think it was in... They bring him up for the summer, and then they bring him down for the winter.
Where can you fit this yacht?
It's pretty big.
Well, this is not that big.
On the St. Croix?
This is a big yacht.
You can put that thing on the St. Croix.
Where can you keep it? You can't keep that thing somewhere.
You know what? I'm sure the Leopold family has got a guy.
Gabe is way more interested in the yacht versus the good deed that Craig Leopold and his family did. He wants to know about the yacht.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Well, I do promise that in my lifetime, if I am ever blessed with a yacht, that's what the Mikulski family will do. We will we'll bring supplies down to whoever is in dire need.
All right.
Okay. All right, let's continue with the show here. Dad was going to do his article, Matthew.
I've got a dilemma here. I want to hear everybody's opinion of this. Hole in one turns into $10,000 disappointment for a Minnesota golfer.
Oh yeah, I did see this.
Okay, a discounted round and the lack of a $5 fee prevented Minnesota golfer Matt Dorgan from cashing in on a $10,000 prize after making a hole in one. He fired the ace using an 8-iron in the par 3 16th hole at Royal Golf Club in Lake Elmo in August. He shot, found the green, hit the flag, and rolled about 3 feet before making a return to the cup. He said, hang on, hang on, he told Forum News Service. Then the ball disappeared. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means that Dorgan, 31 of Cottage Grove, celebrated his first ever hole-in-one with, he's got to go back to the bar, he's got to buy drinks, $200 bar tab. So he's already in for $200. Everybody was cheering and yelling, he said. Then he learned that the course's $10,000 hole-in-one prize offered through Swing King was on the same hole that he aced. So he's thinking, all right, I got 10 grand easy. And the special moment that he had videotaped it as well for proof. Swing King manages hole-in-one contests at golf courses nationwide. So they go and they do this at all these other courses.
Right.
Then he saw the small print. Dorgan's dreams of 10 grand faded quicker than a late summer Minnesota sun. It turns out he played with an employee on the course and he got a discounted green fee. Only full fee players are eligible for the contest. The contest also requires a $5 entry fee, which he did not pay. He said he would have paid the fee had he been aware of it. His dreams of immortality were further crushed when he learned that an unedited video of his hole-in-one would cost an additional $250. I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, that's weird.
That an unedited video of his hole-in-one would cost $250. Maybe you buy the... Well, that would be silly, though. You wouldn't pay $250 for a video. I'm not sure what that is. So he opted to cut his losses at the $200 bar tab. And while he doesn't have the $10,000 prize or the video, he does have the memories. Oh, so I guess if you get that, it's $250 for the video. So you must have to pay Swing King. They must have a closed-circuit TV setup.
Oh, I suppose. Right. So they can verify that this hole-in-one had took place.
So then if you get the hole-in-one, you pay them $250 to get the video.
You know what?
What?
I don't really feel bad for this guy at all because guess what? You didn't win. You didn't follow how you win. So tough chicken.
I don't
chicken.
Feel bad for him either.
I didn't even follow that story. No offense.
You're not much of a
just
golfer,
be
are you?
Honest.
I feel bad for the guy.
I feel bad, but also you got to know the rules of the game to play the game.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah,
you got to pay the fee, and you got to do it at a full fee round. You can't have a discounted round. I mean,
exactly.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you guys are not very sympathetic. Okay, but I agree with you too. They have their rules, and you have to pay the $5. You got to pay the full fee.
It's just like anywhere you go. You have to follow the rules if you want whatever the outcome is.
Right.
Great story for him, though.
Yeah, it's between the $200 that he spent at the bar, and now he's maybe he'll go shop his story or do a GoFundMe page to get the $10,000. Who knows?
Well, that's just it. The story that he's going to have for the rest of his life is probably worth the 10 grand.
That's just like when Joe hit his, Souchere hit his hole-in-one in 91, October of 91. The first thing he thought about when the ball went into the cup, how much is this going to cost me?
See, I think that's kind of a stupid, like, thing. Shouldn't everyone, like, someone should buy your drink because you just made the hole-in-one. You shouldn't have to buy other people theirs.
If you play enough golf to hit a hole-in-one, you can probably afford to buy a round.
Hmm. Okay, that's
true.
I don't know.
I remember when my dad got a hole-in-one in California, and he called home to tell me. I think it was the most happy I have ever heard him. He was so excited. He could barely talk. Yeah, I just think people get on a high after they do that.
Well, because it's so
crazy. And they want to buy drinks for everyone.
Did he call to tell you or call to tell your mom that he has to spend thousands of dollars?
No, my mom was with him. Are you kidding? He didn't travel without my mom.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just saw Larry Fratelloni of Fratelloni's Ace Hardware just got a hole-in-one like a week or two ago, his first.
I saw that on Mike's, I think, Instagram or whatever it was. And Larry's a good guy, and he plays enough golf where he could probably afford the bar tab once he got into the clubhouse.
All right, Fee, what do you got for us today?
A question.
All right.
First of all, how many of you take naps?
Me.
I do.
Never.
So, McLaren, Gabe.
I mean, I do maybe once a month.
No way.
Yeah, way.
I think it's a little bit more than that.
When?
I feel like you nap a lot.
Are you kidding?
No. Probably every single
time
day.
I think not every day.
I think once a month is not
once
accurate.
A month on a Sunday,
once
I
a week,
take a
maybe.
Nap. No.
I bet we'll
no,
go
Sophia.
Home and mom will take a little resty poo.
Yeah.
I have to go shopping because I have to go to a wedding later today. And I have to get something to wear.
Shout out Thomas and Dontell. I take a lot of naps because I get up early in the morning during the week. Yeah. So I'll try to come home and at least... maybe
I still can't believe that you guys think I nap all the time.
Yeah, that's inaccurate.
Stop.
You probably nap more than Sophia.
Stop. Mom, you're like a sloth.
Mm-mm. Stop. It is not all the time, but it is more than once a month.
No,
it's not.
I disagree.
It is.
All right, anyway.
As the man who spends the most time with mom in the house, I can verify maybe occasionally once every other month on a Sunday afternoon, she'll take a nap for 2 hours. And what does that mean when you go lay down?
2 hours?
When you go lay down, what happens? What's going on in the house?
Nothing.
Yeah, usually mad chaos.
Everything. No. So she gets up
we
right
need
away.
To move no. on from this. We'll
I'm
going to
tell
day.
You why
right, Fia.
Napping is a good
no.
thing.
Well,
we're
no,
not. It's not a bad thing that you take a nap, Mom.
I'm not saying it is. I just don't do it as much as you people
you're so
think
offended.
I do.
Whenever other people nap, I try to be as quiet as I can be. But I try and take a nap, and above me, people are like...
That's McLaren walking.
Can we please move on?
Okay. The benefits of naps. Boost your productivity and alertness. Improves memory and learning. Improves heart health. Prevents cell damage. Boosts testosterone.
Vah, vah, vah.
I better stop napping.
Relieves stress and boosts immune system and elevates mood. So those are the main benefits of a nap. Okay. I'm a huge napper myself. I love a nice nap. However,
I don't think it's worth
the ideal nap suggested by professionals should be from 10 minutes to 20 minutes.
Yeah. I take 15-minute
like
naps.
Like a power nap, okay.
Yeah. So, also, I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I think napping increases stress because then you wake up and you're like,
that's why it has to be like 20
my
minutes.
My entire afternoon.
No way. I totally disagree.
You got nothing done, and you're 3 hours behind now.
I think it's a great recharge, and I feel like I can do more.
I agree with you, Matthew. I think like an hour nap is too long for me. I really like a half hour nap because if I sleep longer than that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just wasted half my day doing some sleeping.
My issue is with this, when it says 10 to 20 minutes, how do you fall? It takes me that long to actually fall asleep, though.
Because it's like resting.
That means you don't need a nap.
But I do.
If it's taking you
I'm
that
tired.
Long to fall asleep, then you don't need
I'm
a nap.
I'm trying to recharge. And you get warm if you take naps, and I'm always cold. So if you take a nap, pro tip, if you're cold, take a nap and you're going to be warm.
Got it.
Thank you.
I think we got that.
I don't think so on that one.
It's true.
Oh, the nap battle that was just brought out at the family podcast.
Yep. There's controversy.
That's all I've got.
Well, okay. I have a story. No. Mine is about the Minnesota Zoo monorail that I think everyone all can agree that we loved that when you were kids.
Yes.
Going there, hopping on the monorail.
Because you didn't have to walk.
Yeah. And it was air conditioned.
It was air conditioned. Yeah. It was just always fun. It's a good way to see the animals. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. You guys always liked it when you were kids. Anyway, sadly, that went out of service in, when did it go out of service? 2011-ish, maybe.
What?
You're joking, right, girls?
I haven't been there for a while.
I guess, wait, the train thing?
I haven't been there for a while, I guess, either.
The train?
No, 2013. Yeah. And they put they had three trains, each with six cars, and they put them up for auction. And only one man bid on one of the trains. Mm-hmm. So he paid $1,000 for six cars.
I would have done that.
Yes, but it cost him.
He had to move.
Right.
Oh.
He had to get a crane, hire a crane, and he moved them to property that he owns in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so actually the physical moving of them costs many thousands of dollars. So he brought them to his property in Wisconsin, and then he also helped them to secure a buyer for the other two trains out in the East Coast, I think New York, and they kind of went to a transportation museum out there.
Neat.
So I think it's kind of cool, but what was he going to do with these trains? He turned them into cabins on his property. So now he has six cabins. He has two hooked up for himself. Mm-hmm. And then the other four are for when friends come to stay with him. They each get a train car to sleep in.
What a cool idea.
That's so cute.
He spent his college years, he's from Alaska. So he's really into recycling things and, you know, making what's old new again.
That's really cool.
I'm looking at the layout on the TwinCities.com, the St. Paul Pioneer Press website. If you can get through the subscription thing, which is drives me nuts on that thing.
It's the death of me.
They have kind of the blueprints for what each car does, and it looks really neat. He says it's difficult to keep the raccoons out, though, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, he said he should be more innovative, I think, when it comes to that.
Does he not have doors?
Yes. The raccoons have figured out how to open up the doors.
Dude, put a lock.
They might smell animals from the zoo. I'm just saying. They might attract them.
Marty Moose must come out here.
I don't think that the monorails had any contact with the zoo animals.
No, they were way up tall. They're way up high, and you would go over the animals.
Heat and smell rises, everyone. I want to remember that.
So then, here's the other piece to this, is what you might ask, are they going to do with the monorail ran on? They would like to turn that into an elevated walkway, which, you know, that would be really cool. It'd be a little over a mile long, elevated. But here's it, and they're in the works of doing this. They have all the conceptual design done. I'm sure they need to secure some funding because there's an estimated project cost of $22 million.
What?
I think it would just be cheaper to get one more monorail.
I'm not surprised by that.
That's insane.
That's similar to the High Line in New York. And that was, I think that's a total of maybe 3 miles. That cost billions.
Gosh.
Wow.
I don't know. That seemed expensive to me.
I put some
fences up and there you go.
Boom, you go. You put some fake wood down that you don't have to treat every year. Or some concrete or cement, and you're good to go. But I do, that was one joy, going to the zoo, you always wanted to hit the monorail. And I can't believe that they just said it's not worth it to have the monorail.
Is it not cost efficient, or did they have any?
Too old.
Too old? And they didn't want to redo it? or get something
it was
new?
Pretty old, wasn't it? I mean, it's probably from the 80s or something.
Yeah, it was getting older. They always charged to go on it.
Mm-hmm.
We always got a membership because it was cheaper to get a membership than to bring all you kids to the zoo.
Right.
Yeah.
So I would spend the $80 on the membership because it was going to cost us $100 to get in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we always did that, and I think we either got a discounted price
you got
or it was free.
I think it was discounted.
Like $3 or
yeah,
something.
It was
as
very
opposed
cheap.
To $5. Yeah, I don't know. We still always enjoyed it and always did it, but.
Well, I hope this guy, the pictures of it, it looks, you know, pretty pristine, but that's just going to start to rust out. I hope he maintains it, and because that is a really fun, that would be a fun cabin to sleep in and hang out in.
He sounds like the type of guy who is concerned about maintaining the integrity of this.
Okay.
Of the train, too.
Object.
That's important to him.
I think if you were a passerby and you happened upon this property and saw the train there, that would take you back a little bit.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of fun.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mr. Matthew, what do you got for us?
Do you have a hurricane in your microphone?
I just muted myself.
Ignore him.
I was on mute.
Yeah, you're fine. Ignore Gabe.
You're fine.
All right, I did have one article, but I'm on my phone, so I can't really read the article.
Well, just general discuss.
It was a 3,000-person game of hide-and-seek
at
IKEA.
Oh, God.
In Europe.
Oh, my God. I'm so down.
Yes.
They ended up they got it shut down before. Oh.
And now you're getting shut down.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
They ended up having to basically staff the IKEA. It was a Facebook invite and everything, and they had 3,000 people that were going. And so they had to staff the IKEA with police, and they wouldn't allow anyone in who looked like they might want to play a game. That's what they, in the article, it says they won't let anyone in who looks like they might be interested in playing a game of hide and seek. And they ended up, they were able to shut it down. But then the article went on to say, this isn't the first time this has happened, and that hide and seek games in IKEAs is a popular thing in Europe.
Oh, God.
And started in 2014 in Belgium. And apparently IKEA used to allow it.
You guys,
let's bring it to the U.S.
Let's go.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
I'm so doing that.
Why?
It's like a dream.
That would be so fun.
Because if I was in IKEA and that was going down, I would murder everyone in IKEA that was playing hide and seek.
No, just with our family.
No.
Yeah.
Because when all of you guys get in IKEA, you're like, how weird can I be? How can I make McLaren hate her life right here?
Because IKEA just makes McLaren angry.
Yeah, it does. Especially if she has her Louis with her, her Louis Vuitton. She's like, oh my God. I can't even believe people
I am
here.
So playing this with British accents.
Yes. I'm going to go Russian.
And where is to hide? You can't find Yuri.
And old people clothes, like the people who saw at the state fair that were wearing like 1,400 clothes.
Okay, oh that's pushing a little.
No,
I am not
just
partaking
in
this.
This
you
was in Scotland, Glasgow, Scotland.
No, next time Matthew's home.
Yeah, I'm ready
to
go.
And then you go and have what when you're all done?
A White Claw.
No.
Just kidding.
Lunch. Lunch at IKEA.
Swedish meatballs.
Lean cuisine a lot for lunch.
Yeah.
And my favorite one is the Swedish meatball, and it's actually fire. It's so good.
Really?
I love Swedish meatballs.
Might need to try
it's just
that
like
out.
IKEA.
I love IKEA.
Matthew, in your absence earlier, McLaren opened up the podcast with a run on White Claws. Do you see the absence of White Claws out east, or are you okay?
No, I've been hearing about it, but I don't have any issue finding them.
Okay.
I did see, I don't know, did you go into the specifics on like how much the market has risen this year?
No, I didn't. The article that I was looking at, they just said that right now they're limiting distributors can only, they're only allowing their customers to buy 35 cases.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I did hear one person yesterday. We went to the tailgate for a Boston College game yesterday, and there was one person who couldn't, they had to get the low calorie one,
mm-hmm.
the 70 calorie, because the place was out of regular White Claws. Oh. But I had seen that the market for spiked seltzers was it had grown like 300% in the last like year.
Wow.
It was like 297%. Mostly attributed to White Claw, but then Spike Seltzer and Truly too. But
yeah, a liquor store said they sell
more now, I guess.
Yeah, 65 cases a week of White Claw, but now that they can only get 35, that's like half their market is gone.
Well, I wonder if Truly and the Spike Seltzer brand will grow more now. Then
I would
that's
imagine.
What Dad was saying.
Speaking of Dad.
Yes, I just have one thing, and I want to know how you guys would react to this. Door blows off Boeing 777X during stress test. They put this plane to the test. It didn't happen in the air. Everybody was safe. But can you imagine the pressure for a door to blow off a Boeing 777? The test is meant to push the plane beyond its limits. Engineers had the plane pressurized and it was on the ground, and they loaded it up well beyond capacity, bent its wings in extreme manner. So almost to make certain it would never happen in the real world, they wanted to test and see how far it went. But the ground test was underway. Engineers were there, FAA inspectors, and they had it so pressurized that the door blew off the aircraft. Isn't that amazing?
Nah.
You're not impressed by that? No, Mom's looking at me like I'm from the moon.
Because it's a stress test. It's going to break. They're not going to stop until everything breaks.
What I'm thinking is everyone always complains about how expensive airplanes are. Why are they completely destroying an airplane for fun and games?
Well,
test them.
Yeah, think about this, though. Think about what a plane goes through nonstop. Take off when it's full, landing probably a little bit easier, but the pressure that's put on those wings and then the turbulence, and those things always stay intact. You never, an engine might kill or you know, break up, but the wings never fall off, and the pressure and stress they're under, they're really well made.
A window
fell off. I would want to get on a plane that wasn't tested.
I would agree. Have you tested this plane so much that the door has fallen off? Okay, then I want to get on this plane.
Yeah.
A lady was pulled out of a window once when a window came off.
That's when the...
That's because the engine exploded.
Yeah, that piece of engine hit the window and she... that was just a tragic deal. She really...
Was she wearing the seatbelt and it still pulled her out?
Well, it pulled her head out and then she... You know, she had a lot of head trauma. They were holding on to her and bringing her in, but her head... had so much trauma, she didn't. Oh, okay. She didn't make it right away.
Yeah. And you would not be able to breathe as soon as you left the airplane.
There's no oxygen.
Oh, that's just
scary. That and you're moving at 500 something miles per hour. Oh. So your lungs would just get crushed. They wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
So I'm just going to say maybe the aisle seat for me.
We
and
saw at the window
yesterday on the news, speaking about airplanes, the airplane graveyard in Nevada.
Yeah.
Where the planes that are retired all go here. And they're retired by major airlines, and then the bargain airlines will actually purchase these retired planes and use them. So that is a little bit scary.
This is
that's a lot of bit scary.
Hello, Spirit Airlines.
Well, no, I'm not mentioning any names.
I actually watch a video of this yesterday of a guy who wanted to make the Pan Am experience. It was on My Strange Addiction, and he went to the graveyard and purchased a part of the 747.
Really? He had the
recreation of a 747 first class cabin from Pan Am in his garage.
Oh, wow.
But he thought it was time to step it up. And purchase. He spent over $200,000 on his obsession.
What's Pan Am?
He was addicted to
Pan America.
First class airline in his garage.
Mm-hmm. And he would eat in it. He would sleep in it. He would buy salted almonds, and he would seal them in packages so he could get the first class experience. And he would only eat in the silverware and the Tupperware and things that they had.
He's divorced, right?
Did he ever consider going on an airplane instead of spending $200,000 doing that?
Well, he said it started when he was 6, and he took pictures of everything, and he had every single picture still, and he's like 40 or 50.
Wow.
He's got a lot going on for him.
I'd rather do the real deal than just in your garage. Well, let's go to Europe today.
And does he know that you can just purchase those almonds already packaged?
Yeah, seriously.
He has to put them in the Pan Am thing.
Does his wife dress up like the stewardess? And the would you like some?
I don't think he has a wife.
Okay. Yeah.
That explains a lot. That's pretty good.
That is very funny.
All right, guys. Well, anybody have anything else this week upcoming that you want to... we have a wedding to go to tonight, so I'm taking your mom out dancing.
Fun.
You guys ready for that? I mean, we are going hardcore dancing tonight.
I can't wait to hear all about it. I might wait up till you guys come home.
Well, I don't think we're going to be
yes,
1
I don't think it'll be a late night.
It could be later than
you go to
think.
Bed at like 8, McLaren.
I have to get up at
and
5 in the morning now.
I have a late start, so I can stay up when you guys get home.
Risky.
Ah, you baddie.
Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Anybody else have anything fun this week?
No.
Matthew, you're just working?
And it's my birthday.
All right.
It's McLaren's birthday.
Why are
That's
we so
right.
stupid? I said no, too, and then I was like,
it's
wait.
It's my birthday.
It is my birthday.
9/11.
Yeah.
So what is it? Wednesday's your birthday. Oh, my gosh. Yep. Do you want to reveal your age or no?
She's going to turn 24 years old.
Oh, I guess you're going to have
Thank
to.
Thank you, yeah. Gabe. Gabe answered for me.
All right. Well, we'll sing you happy birthday on the next episode because technically it's not your birthday yet. So we'll save
it
that.
It won't be her birthday next episode either.
What are you requesting for a birthday dinner? And home or going out?
I really want mom to make alarm breaks. She hasn't made in forever, and I know it takes a really long time.
Well, I'm not going
to
be able to nap that day.
Yeah,
so.
You're going to have to take
it. It takes a really long time to make, but she hasn't made it in so long, and she used to make it a lot.
What
so.
About cake?
I haven't what are decided thinking? On the cake yet.
Cafe latte, tres leche.
Matthew, if you want to fly home, you're more than welcome to.
Nope, more cake.
Only the DQ.
No.
All right, friends.
Okay, come in.
All right, well, social media, how do these people that are listening to us right now tell other people where to find us? You can rate us on Apple iTunes. You can also send an email and tell us if we're doing a great job, bad job, or if you're indifferent, or maybe you have an idea. And where do we find that email?
The email is thepodcastfamily@gmail.com.
Thepodcastfamily@gmail.com.
Yes.
All right. And what else on social
Look
media?
Look for us on Facebook at The Podcast Family, Instagram at The Podcast Family, and Twitter at The Podcast Fam.
What it do, baby?
Whoop.
All right. Well, Matthew, we'll let you go. We'll talk to you later on. I'll give you a buzz during the game, I'm sure.
All right.
Say hi to Haley for us in Brannock.
Haley says hello.
Hi, Haley.
Hello, Haley.
We'll get her on here soon. It's kind of boring without her, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. See you, buddy.
Get her pumped up for that IKEA game of hide and seek.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right.
Matthew's trying to get the last word there, wasn't he? All right. All right. Thanks, guys. Again, tell others about the podcast. We really appreciate you listening and taking the time to check out what our family thinks is important or interesting or funny. And we'll be back the next time after mom takes a couple naps, 6 or 7 naps this week, and then you'll be refreshed for the next podcast.
The Family Sloth.
I can't believe you guys. All right, thanks for tuning in.
I get the last word.
Nope, me.
No. Nope.